Shagnon. Education Trust President Katie Haycock says it's crucial that middle and high school teachers are experts in the subjects that they teach.
As most parents know, having a teacher who actually knows the subject is the most important ingredient in student achievement.
Haycock says there's a big difference in some states between the percentage of qualified teachers that school administrators report and what educators themselves are reporting.
There are gaps in almost every state, but in 17, the gaps are so big that you're asking yourself, whoa, what are the states trying to cover up here?
The government's defending some modifications to the financial rescue program. AP correspondent Sagar Magani reports from the White House.
It has announced some $800 billion in moves to thaw the credit markets and restore key types of consumer lending, like auto and student loans. They're the latest changes to what's already the biggest ever government bailout. Treasury Chief Henry Paulson says no single move is going to ease a historic crisis.
The fact is we now have the tools and the capacity to stabilize the system and work to get credit flowing again.
But Paulson warns it will take a while to restore that flow. Sagar Meghani at the White House.
The Alliance Defense Fund has reached a favorable settlement in a lawsuit that pitted a divorced father and mother against one another over whether their 24-year-old daughter should live. She has severe brain injury. ADF attorney Matt Bowman tells AFN the mother of Lauren Richardson was fighting to have her feeding tube and water disconnected.
The miracle in Lauren Richardson's case is that both of her parents came to realize that life should be protected. It's inherently valuable. And just because Lauren has a severe disability doesn't mean that her life is not valuable.
Doctors had declared her to be in a persistent vegetative state, but then Lauren's mother became a born-again Christian and visited her daughter at the hospital facility.
And then an amazing thing happened. She told Lauren that Lauren would be cared for, and Lauren started crying. And they cried together, and she realized that her daughter was really there and was really responding.
The young woman was also responding to pain, music, family members' voices, touch, and assisted exercise. The parents have reconciled. The president of the National Institute on Media and the Family, David Walsh, says his group determines which video game will be the most popular before deciding which one should be avoided by kids and teens under 17.
We talk to video game reviewers from around the country. We take a look at the marketing budgets, the advertising, and we kind of make an educated guess about which games are going to be the ones that are requested.
Walsh says one of the video games his group recommends kids and teens under 17 avoid is Blitz, the League 2.
You can, you know, deliberately injure players, target the body parts that you want to, the bones that you want to break. There's drug use during the games. They celebrate victories with prostitutes, etc.
Pro-abortion religious groups and denominations have written President-elect Obama urging him to promote abortion. Mark Tooley of the Institute on Religion and Democracy says they are the same organizations that deviate from the Bible, displaying a veneer of Christianity. He talks about some areas where they urge Obama to act.
Passing the so-called Freedom of Choice Act, overturning any kind of restrictions on abortions across the country, and overturning by executive order the Mexico City policy prohibiting U.S. government funding for overseas abortion advocacy.
He has been asked to repeal the Hyde Amendment that prohibits use of tax dollars for abortions. He says the pro-abortion forces that call themselves Christian groups are the same ones that have been losing membership for years.
Abortions within those denominations have kept their membership from climbing, and the fact that members of those denominations are not having a lot of children. So it's almost as though these denominations are embracing an overall culture of death that is leading to their own deaths.
And those are your top stories on American Family News. For more on these stories and for the latest news around the clock, visit onenewsnow.com. I'm Pete Shagnon.
Fight the fight. We are here to equip you. Because you love the truth, LibertyRadioLive.com.
You're listening to Cross the Border. That's the name of this program. And I'm Nicholas. My website is crosstheborder.org. I'd like you to go there and email me if you're listening to the program. You have any comments, questions, challenges, insights, anything you'd like to share at all, please do email me. Put in the subject line of the email, Cross the Border, or my name, Nicholas, so that I can sort it out easily. And would like to hear from you. Let's see. What else do we have? Okay, well, I'm going to pick up because I have a thought where we left off in Jeremiah in chapter 16 about verse 14. We have a prophetic utterance here. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith Yahuwah, that it shall no more be said, the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from all the lands whither he had driven them, and I will bring them again into their land that I gave unto their fathers. Now the futurists of today would say that this was happening now, and that Jews were coming to the Holy Land from, they're coming from Russia, and they're coming from wherever, all over the earth. And so that's a prophecy about what's happening today. And then you have your that's a little tongue-twisting there. what do you call them? Messianics. That's it. That's how you say that. Messy maniacs, huh? Anyway, you have your messy, those guys, the Gentiles who discovered that they were Jews and that are somehow going to be gathered. And they'll tell you that this is a future thing, and that's why they've discovered that they're Jews because God is drawing them out of all the places in the earth. But you know what? I don't think they read the whole book. You know, like we're kind of like we're doing today. I don't think they read all of Jeremiah, because if he says he's going to bring them out of the north and out of all the lands where he scattered Israel and Judah, isn't he saying, didn't that happen once already? What is prophesied here? Didn't that already happen once? Well, golly, it did happen once. Yes, it did happen once already. So it's more likely that this prophecy has been fulfilled than that it's being fulfilled now or will be fulfilled in the future. Because if you have something and you can see it, and it was prophesied before it happened, and then it happened, pretty much that's prophecy unfolding in history, is it not? Well, that's the way I'm going to look at it, because you know what? I know I'm right. Yeah, I know I'm right. I know that's what this is talking about, because it's exactly what happened. They came back out of the north. Remember Daniel and his fellows and those guys there were sent back after the 70-year captivity. Read all about it in Daniel. That's right. And then you go forward in time, you go to the Gospels, and you'll find mention there in the Gospels of men of the tribe of. Yeah. Where were the 10 lost tribes? You hear they have the other thing about the lost tribes of Israel, the northern tribes of Israel that got lost. No, he brought some back. He brought a remnant back into Judea at the time of Christ. So this prophecy that Jeremiah gives was perfectly fulfilled in the time of the Messiah, in the time that the temple, well, in the time that the temple was rebuilt leading up to the Messiah. It was complete. I can show you in the Gospels where there are no lost tribes, that a remnant was brought back from all the tribes of Judah, just like it says here. He says, therefore, the days come, they shall no more be said. And it says, but the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from all the lands whither he had driven them. And I will bring them again to their land that I gave unto their fathers. Perfectly fulfilled. Already. Will there be another fulfillment? Possibly. I mean, you see something going on, whether these are really, blood children of Abraham. Well, a lot of them are, obviously. Whether they are actually children of Israel, well, some of them may be, some of them may not be. Most of them have no clue whether they are or not. But I'm still not going to worship them as if somehow, by virtue of being a Jew, that they're in a better position. Because if they're not regenerated through the blood of the Lamb, if his blood hasn't been applied to them, if they have not been grafted back into the tree, then they're no better off than all the rest of the heathen out there, than all of the rest of the godless. Because if they reject the Son, the Heavenly Father says they reject him. And they are the posterity of the disobedient if they have not accepted Christ. So this prophecy perfectly fulfilled already. Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 16. Behold, I will send for many fishers, saith Yahuwah, and they shall fish them, and after will I send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them from every mountain and from every hill and out of the holes of the rocks. For mine eyes are upon all their ways. They are not hid from my face, neither is their iniquity hid from my eyes. And first I will recompense their iniquity and their sin double, because they have defiled my land. They have filled my inheritance with the carcasses of their detestable and abominable things. O Yahuwah, my strength and my fortress and my refuge in the day of affliction, the Gentiles shall come unto thee from the ends of the earth. They shall say, surely our fathers have inherited lies, vanity, and things wherein there is no profit. These are good words. The nations shall come unto thee from the ends of the earth and say, surely our fathers have inherited lies, vanity, and things wherein there is no profit. That should be our cry in America today. Surely our fathers have inherited lies, vanity, and things wherein there is no profit. Shall a man make gods unto himself? And they are no gods. Therefore, behold, I will this once cause them to know. I will cause them to know mine hand and mine might, and they shall know that my name is Yahuwah. That's right. It doesn't say my name is the Lord in the Hebrew. I have the Textus Receptus here. I know, you know, regardless of the reformers and their anti-Semitism, which they carried over from that great whore church that was virulently anti-Semitic and perhaps still is, even though they don't show it. They've got all their court Jews, so to speak. That, yes. They shall know that my name is Yahuwah in the Hebrew there. Of course, in the Authorized King James Version, it says the Lord. And I wonder what it said there in the 1611 version. Let's take a look and see what it says there. Yeah, it says the Lord there too in the 1611 version. Totally obliterated the name of our Heavenly Father from the Scripture. Totally. But I like these words. I'm going to have to remember these in Jeremiah 16:19. Surely our fathers, and speaking of the Gentiles shall come unto thee, speaking of the Creator, shall come unto thee from the ends of the earth, and shall say, I guess we're, according to where Jerusalem was at the time, this would be the ends of the earth, would it not? Surely our fathers have inherited lies, vanity, and things wherein there is no profit. Why would they change the name of Yahuwah to the Lord, which is not a name at all? Vanity. Because the mother church hated everything Hebrew. Because, you know, those Hebrews, they would only accept that one God. They would never accept the Pope as their God and their representative on earth, ever. So they hated him. And it's a well-known fact that Martin Luther, who nailed the 95 Theses to the door, was virulently anti-Semitic too, that he learned that hatred of Jews and he never let go of it. That's what he was taught. And that was carried over into the English translations of the Scripture. But it's time for us to be part of this prophecy here the Jeremiah. We can prophesy, and we can apply this to today. We can also apply it to the days after the Messiah, after Daniel's 70 weeks were up, that time determined for his people Israel was up, and the gospel went to the Gentiles. We can apply that this prophecy from that day to this day without any controversy whatsoever. And I love it. I'm going to read it again. Jeremiah chapter 16. The Lord, O Yahuwah, my strength, my fortress and my refuge in the day of affliction, the nations, the Gentiles, shall come unto thee from the ends of the earth and shall say, surely our fathers have inherited lies, vanity, and things wherein there is no profit. Shall a man make gods unto himself, and they are no gods? Therefore, behold, I will this once cause them to know, I will cause them to know mine hand and my might, and they shall know that my name is Yahuwah. And that's what it says literally in the Textus Receptus. Chapter 17 and verse 1. The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and the point of a diamond. It is graven upon the table of their heart and upon the horns of your altars. Whilst their children remember their altars and their groves by the green trees upon the high hills, O my mountain in the field, I will give thy substance and all thy treasure to the spoil, and thy high places for sin throughout all thy borders. And thou even thyself shalt discontinue from thine heritage that I gave thee, and I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knowest not. For you have kindled a fire in mine anger, which shall burn forever. Thus saith Yahuwah, cursed is the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from Yahuwah. For he shall be like the heath in the desert. And I wonder what the heath in the desert is. He shall be like a juniper, okay, in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, and in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope is in Yahuwah, whose hope Yahuwah is, for he shall be as a tree planted by the water, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, Yahuwah, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. As the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool. Yes, why do the wicked prosper? Well, here's their end. In their end, they shall be a fool. Their riches will part from them. It won't do them a bit of good. It shall leave them in the midst of their days. A glorious high throne from the beginning of the place of our sanctuary. O Yahuwah, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. Heal me, O Yahuwah, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. Behold, they say unto me, where is the word of the Lord? Let it come now. As for me, I have not hastened from being a pastor to follow thee, neither have I desired the woeful day. Thou knowest that which came out of my lips was right before thee. Be not a terror unto me. Thou art my hope in the day of evil. Let them be confounded that persecute me, but let not me be confounded. Let them be dismayed, but let not me be dismayed. Bring upon them the day of evil, and destroy them with double destruction. Thus said the Lord, thus said Yahuwah unto me, Go and stand in the gate of the children of the people, whereby the kings of Judah come in, and by which they go out, and in all the gates of Jerusalem, and say unto them, Hear ye the word of Yahuwah, ye kings of Judah, and all Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem that enter in by these gates. Thus saith the Lord, thus saith Yahuwah, Take heed to yourselves, and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring in by the gates of Jerusalem. Neither carry forth a burden out of your house on the Sabbath day, neither do ye any work, but hallow ye the Sabbath day as I commanded your fathers. But they obeyed not, neither inclined their ear, but made their neck stiff, that they might not hear nor receive instruction. And it shall come to pass, if you diligently hearken unto me, saith Yahuwah, to bring in no burden through the gates of the city on the Sabbath day, but hallow the Sabbath day, to do no work therein, then shall there enter into the gates of the city kings and princes sitting upon the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, they and their princes, the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and this city shall remain forever. And they shall come from the cities of Judah, and from the places about Jerusalem, and from the land of Benjamin, and from the plain, and from the mountains, and from the south, bringing burnt offerings, and sacrifices, and meat offerings, and incense, and bringing sacrifices of praise unto the house of Yahuwah. But if you will not hearken unto me, to hallow the Sabbath day, and not to bear a burden, even entering into the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then will I kindle a fire in the gates thereof, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched. The word which came to Jeremiah from Yahuwah, saying, Arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hands of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, and it seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Saith Yahuwah, Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. At what instant shall I speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom, to pluck up and to pull down, and to destroy? If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant shall I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant? If it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherein I said I would benefit them. Now therefore go to speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith Yahuwah, Behold, I frame evil against you, and devise a device against you. Return ye now every one from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. And they said, There is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will every one do the imaginations of his evil heart. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, Ask you now among the heathen, who hath heard such things? The virgin of Israel hath done a very horrible thing. Will a man leave the snow of Lebanon, which cometh from the rock of the field, or shall the cold-flowing waters that come from another place be forsaken? Because my people hath forgotten me, they have burned incense to vanity. They have caused them to stumble in their ways from the ancient paths, to walk in paths in a way not cast up, to make their land desolate and a perpetual hissing. Everyone that passes thereby shall be astonished and wag his head. I will scatter them as with an east wind. Before the enemy I will show them the back and not the face in the day of their calamity. Then said they, come, let us devise devices against Jeremiah, for the law shall not perish from the priest. So Jeremiah is giving this word. Now they're saying, Jeremiahu, that's his Hebrew name, which means rise up, O Yah, or rise up to Yah. Or says, come, let us devise devices against Jeremiah. They threw him into prison. They persecuted him, because they say the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come, let us smite him with the tongue, and let us not give heed to any of his words. Give heed to me, O Yahuwah, and hearken to the voice of them that contend with me. Shall evil be recompensed for good? For they have digged a pit for my soul. Remember that I stood before thee to speak good for them, and to turn away thy wrath from them. Okay, I'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.
I have a thankful heart that you have given me, and it can only come from you.
Fight the fight. We are here to equip you because you love the truth. LibertyRadioLive.com.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have
for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Who will tell them if not you?
Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from LibertyRadioLive.com. Order online today or call 559-781-3773.
Now listen to me.
Don't buy the sizzle of that steak until you understand the cost. In other words, don't buy the hype being dispensed by the rare coin pitchman of the alternative media until you understand the full story. FlyingEagleGold.com offers the most private, non-confiscable gold and silver coinage in the world. At very competitive cost, Jeffrey Bennett has been a purveyor of wealth protection, gold and silver bullion, and rare collectible coins for over 17 years. His personal experience reaches back to 1958. And he takes personal pride in putting your interests ahead of all else. To hear the whole story, not the hard sell, you're invited to call Flying Eagle Gold at 623-327-1778. That's 623-327-1778 for the truth about protecting your wealth. Join Jeffrey Bennett each day, Monday through Friday, when he hosts right here on LibertyRadioLive.com. If you'd like to get a copy of this program, you may subscribe at LibertyRadioLive.com for only $45 a month. And you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all the First Amendment Rights Media Group programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you can request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $20. For any single program on tape, MP3 CD or CD for only $15. You can do all this online at LibertyRadioLive.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. Don't do internet? Then call 559-781-3773, 559-781-3773, and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at the First Amendment Rights Media Group.
You're listening to Across the Border, and I'm Nicholas. We're going through the Bible. We're in the book of Jeremiah, the prophet. We're at chapter 18 and verse 20. Before we continue, I wanted to address an email that I got. I hope that the sender of the email doesn't mind, but I think this may be something that perhaps a lot of people are concerned about. I've got several emails like this in the past. Of course, this is a question that everyone has to deal with. And let's see, how much of this should I read? This is from Larry, and he says, "Hi, Nicholas. You've jumped into a new Bible study series. Thank you. Your study today," and he's speaking of yesterday. He says, "Hour one was absolutely fantastic. Thank you for sharing this with us." He said, "In a previous part of this new series, you told how you began to wake up and began to discover everything that you learned before your meeting with," he puts, "Jesus. This is where I am, Nicholas. For some time now, I have realized the same personally, that literally everything I had ever been taught was a lie, mistruth, deception, or illusion. This included organized religion. I was in a non-denominational Christian church and was in ministry training there, but I noticed that some of the things being taught were not what I discovered on my own in the Word. When I questioned these things over time, I never got any satisfactory answer that I felt was scriptural. I am sure that the pastoral staff was not openly being deceptive, but they were ignorant from the lessons from their teachers, etc. I went to different churches, some non-denominational, some denominational, looking for some truth, but found none. Everything revolved around money, and this sickened me, so I quit going to church. I didn't know what a 501c3 corporation was back then, but I knew something was wrong. Now, I know every church is a corporate church. Even though I left the church, my heart was still drawn to the Word of God. Now, here's perhaps where I'm hoping you might be able to give me some help. In my heart, I don't think I am a Christian. My heart yearns to be, but there is something holding me back from throwing my whole self into it and the willingness to surrender completely. I think that a big part of this, Nicholas, is that everything I had ever believed in and threw myself into, I discovered was a lie and deception. Now, I think I'm afraid to take that risk of throwing myself completely into belief in Christ, because there is a part of me that is afraid I will be burnt yet again and will discover that it was nothing but another lie and deception. Is there anything you might be able to tell me, if you're willing, that might help me overcome the split mind I have on the issue? Nicholas, I have prayed and have tried to talk to Jesus and God. When I get what might be the answer, I don't know from who the answer comes from. The answers are always in words in my head. I think in words, and I don't know if part of my mind is making stuff up or what. I thought about asking God for a sign, but then remembered that Jesus told the scribes not to tempt God for a sign, because that signs were already given. Thank you for any help you might be able to render. And that's pretty much it. He says that he likes the program and the studies. But anyway, he says, I have serious doubts about my own salvation being secure. And, well, we need to continue in the Word, one, Larry. And you know, these are the same questions, I believe, that we all have to struggle with if we're really honest. So these are good things, that you're struggling with these things in your minds. It means that you're not willing to settle for anything less than the truth. To me, in my eyes, when I hear this kind of cry, I see a heart that loves the truth. That's a good place to be. So you can have some peace in that you're not resting for and settling for anything less than the truth. As far as praying and hearing from God and the words in your own mind, yes. Our Heavenly Father speaks to us, but He doesn't speak to us out of the cloud. He doesn't speak to us like He did to Paul on the Damascus Road. We don't hear an audible voice. The people around didn't, you know, we don't hear, "This is my beloved Son, hear Him." You know, we don't hear it like that. But what do we hear? Well, we have His Word. He gave us His Word. And let us drink that Word. Let us eat that Word. Let us fill our minds with His Word. And that way we know that everything that comes into our mind that is in agreement with His Word is His Word. And we know that He only asks of us to do good. We don't need a sign. We don't need to hear an audible voice. Yes, we can have a so-called Damascus Road experience. Not everybody's going to get those. You know, I had one in my life, basically, and that was, you know, that was a, seemed like a miraculous event, but, you know, really, you know, the unbelievers would say, well, that all only happened in your own head, Nicholas. And you know what? Perhaps they're right. Perhaps it did happen only in my own head, because it was only for me. And yes, you know, perhaps I can't prove that happened to them. I have examined that over and over in my mind, whether it was true, what was true, what really happened on the road, on my Plymouth Road experience. But it didn't matter. It wasn't necessary, but it was a point in time where I know that I can point to and say, I entered into His kingdom at that time. Did I stay in His kingdom? No, I strayed, because I was rebellious and I was a wicked young man, and I didn't know how to walk with Him. I had been trained in wickedness and deceit and untruth. But here's what our Heavenly Father wants us to do. He wants us to do only good. It doesn't matter. We don't love Him because He shows us. He gives us experiences. We don't love Him because we heard an audible voice. We don't love Him because we saw a sign. These are not the things. These things didn't change. The people that saw the signs and heard the voices, that saw the healings, didn't change them. No, we love Him because He loved us first. We love Him because His character is such that He's not trying to take anything from us. He wants to save us. And He only asks us good. Everything that He asks us to do in His Word is good. To love your neighbor as yourself. To love Him. And how do you love Him? By doing it His way. Because do we have a better way out of ourself? Are we gods? Did we create ourself? No, He created us. Have faith and rest assured that if you continue in His Word, and what it means to continue in His Word is that you're obedient to His Word, and that you nurture that desire to please Him, to do only the things that please Him, and you continue in His Word, and it will all come. You will have that assurance. You will have that peace. Just continue. That's all I can say is just continue. And when things go on in your mind, you hear things, you think maybe perhaps God is speaking to you. Perhaps He is. What's He going to draw on? Well, He's going to draw on His Word. The Word that you've eaten, that you've drunk of His Word. You've listened to His Word. You've heard the Word. It's sunk into your heart. You've taken it to heart. And He draws on that. And sometimes, yes, He will tell you to do this, go here, go there. The Spirit, you'll get an unction in your spirit. You'll get a gut feeling to do this instead of doing that, to go this way instead of that way, to help this person, to give this man $100, to put an extra, $100 in the plate one day for some reason. And it doesn't matter. If you think about it, you think, okay, if this is God telling me to do this, it doesn't go against His Word. I'm going to take a chance and be obedient. If I think about it too much, I might think my way out of it. And the Heavenly Father knows that what I'm doing is in obedience to Him, so I'm going to do it. So sometimes you get those urges. You get the unction of the Holy Spirit. You get that gut feeling that you need to do this or that thing. But this or that thing will never be contrary to His law and His Word. So you have safety there. You have safety in His Word, and you know that you can do that thing, whatever that unction is, that whatever that feeling that you have in your spirit, that gut feeling that you get. If you know His Word, then you'll know that whether it is against His Word. If it's against His Word, then you judge it as being against His Word, and you don't do it. And you thank God for that. Thank God for His Word and giving you that light. Thy Word is a lamp to my feet. It's a light to my path. His Word. Just continue in it. And you can't go wrong. Just cultivate and nurture that desire to do only the things that please Him because you love Him. And continue. That's all I can say. That's all we all have to go on. We're all in the same boat here. But He's looking for people that will be obedient, that will desire to do good, that will desire to please Him without signs, without miraculous events, without audible voices, because everybody would be obedient if they heard the voice of God booming in their ear, if they were continually barraged with signs and healings and wonders, then wouldn't they all be obedient? No, but it's what happens when the excitement is gone. It's what happens when the signs disappear, when the healings and the miracles come to question in our mind. Did it really happen? Was it really real? It doesn't matter. All that matters is that I desire to be obedient to my Heavenly Father, that I live according to His law so I can stay in His kingdom. Because He's looking for a people that will volunteer to live by His law because they love Him, because they desire to please him. That's what it means. If you love God, what are you going to do? If you love our Creator, your desire, the desire of your life, is going to be to do only the things that please him. And if you do something that displeases him, your desire is going to be to stop doing those things that displease him. Not because he's going to punish you, but because you love him and you know that it displeases him. You know, children are wonderful. I have grandchildren, I have children. And the really young ones, you get them 2 or 3 years old. And when you scold them, you can see their hearts turn. And they just start to cry. And you see it in their face. And you realize they're not crying because you're scolding them. They're crying because you're displeased with them. You ever seen that? Fathers? Grandfathers? We've all seen that in the little children. How they cry. Not because they fear retribution, but because they realize that we are displeased with them. And you have to take that time and to comfort them and explain to them, you didn't do anything wrong. You didn't understand. And you explain to them what pleases you and why you're displeased with them with comforting words. And that's how our Father treats us. That's the relationship that we desire to have with him. But if we want to practice wickedness, if money is our God, and we love the creation more than the Creator, and we serve when we're just after the lust of the flesh, we're going to have no regard for God. I hope that helps. Anyway, let's jump back and continue in our study in Jeremiah. We're in Jeremiah chapter 18 and verse 20. Shall evil be recompensed for good? And here Jeremiah is lamenting because he gave them the word. He said, are they going to now repay me evil for good? They have digged a pit for my soul. He says, remember that I stood before thee to speak good for them. I pled their case, Father. I pled the case to them. I pleaded with them to turn away from their iniquities, to save them. I stood before thee, Heavenly Father, he says, to speak good for them. And to turn away thy wrath from them. But now, they're going to recompense evil to me. They've digged a pit for my soul. Verse 21, therefore deliver up their children to the famine, and pour out their blood by the force of the sword. Let their wives be bereaved of their children, and be widows, and let their men be put to death. Let their young men be slain by the sword. You know what? The anger of Yahuwah is now consuming Jeremiah. He's speaking the same words of God. Let it be to them as they wish it upon me and your servants. Because it's too late. The nation will not turn back. Yet there is that remnant. And we've talked about them. America. I don't believe there's any hope for America as a nation. The remnant? Yes. I plead for the case of the remnant. And I know that our Heavenly Father is faithful, and come what may, that he can protect his remnant. Let a cry be heard from their houses when thou shalt bring a troop suddenly upon them, for they have digged a pit to take me, and hid snares for my feet. Yet, Yahuwah, thou knowest all their counsel against me to slay me. Forgive not their iniquity, neither blot out their sin from thy sight, but let them be overthrown before thee. Deal thus with them in the time of thine anger. Jeremiah chapter 19 and verse 1. Thus saith Yahuwah, go and get a potter's earthen bottle, and take of the ancients of the people, and of the ancients of the priests, and go forth into the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is by the entry of the east gate, and proclaim there the words that I shall tell thee. And say, hear ye the word of Yahuwah, O kings of Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem. Thus saith the Lord, Yahuwah of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring evil upon this place, the which whosoever heareth, his ears shall tingle, because they have forsaken me, and have estranged this place, and have burned incense unto other gods, whom neither can they nor their fathers have known, nor the kings of Judah, and have filled this place with the blood of innocents. Yes, good morning, America. Is this place filled with the blood of innocents? They have built also the high places of Baal to burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings unto Baal, which I commanded not, nor spoke it, neither came into my mind. Oh, in America, we don't sacrifice our children to idols, do we? Well, what is it? What is it? The blood of innocents destroyed and ripped from the womb of women by the millions, cast into a furnace to be incinerated. Do you think the enemy of mankind delights in that? You better believe the enemy of mankind delights in it. Do you think our Father, our Heavenly Father, our Creator, who said, be fruitful and multiply, do you think the one that said, children are a blessing, blessed is the man who has his quiver full, do you think he's pleased with it? Not at all. They have filled this place with the blood of innocents. They have built also the high places of Baal to burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings unto Baal, which I commanded not, nor spoke of it, neither came it into my mind. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith Yahuwah, that this place shall no more be called Tophet, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. And I will make void the council of Judah and Jerusalem in this place, and I will cause them to fall by the sword before their enemies, and by the hands of them that seek their lives, and their carcasses will I give to be meat for the fowls of heaven and for the beasts of the earth. Here's Jeremiah, you know, shouting this out to the priests, to the kings, to the princes of Judah, and to all the people entering in it to Jerusalem. You think he was a popular man? What should the people have said if they had believed his word? If they had acknowledged their iniquity and their sin, they would have said, what should we do? I mean, it would have been time for sackcloth and ashes. But no, that wasn't it. They sought to kill him. They sought to shut him up. And their corporate preachers, their pastors, their false prophets came out and said, nah, it will never be so. Peace and safety. We are safe here. None of these things shall come upon us. That's what they said. But he says, I will make void the council of Judah and Jerusalem in this place. I will cause them to fall by the sword before their enemies, by the hands of them that seek their lives, and their carcasses I will give to be meat for the fowls of heaven and for the beasts of the earth. I will make this city desolate and a hissing. Everyone that passes thereby shall be astonished and hiss because of all the plagues thereof. And I will cause them to eat the flesh of their sons and the flesh of their daughters, and they shall eat every one the flesh of his friend in the siege and the straitness wherewith their enemies and they that seek their lives shall straiten them. Then shalt thou break the bottle in the sight of the men that go with thee, and shall say unto them, thus saith Yahuwah of hosts, even so I will break this people and this city as one breaketh a potter's vessel that cannot be made whole again, and they shall bury them in Tophet till there be no place to bury. Thus will I do unto this place, saith Yahuwah, and to the inhabitants thereof, and even make this city as Tophet. And the houses of Jerusalem and the houses of the kings of Judah shall be defiled as the place of Tophet, because of all the houses upon whose roofs they have burnt incense unto all the hosts of heaven, and have poured out drink offerings unto other gods. Then came Jeremiah from Tophet, whether the Lord hath sent him to prophesy. And he stood in the court of Yahuwah's house and said to all the people, thus saith Yahuwah of hosts, the God of Israel. Behold, I will bring upon this city and upon all her towns all the evil that I have pronounced upon it, because they have hardened their necks, that they might not hear my words. Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 1. Now Pashur, the son of Immer, the priest, who was also chief governor of the house of Yahuwah, heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things. Then Pashur smote Jeremiah the prophet, and put him in the stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord. And it came to pass on the morrow that Pashur brought forth Jeremiah out of the stocks, and then said Jeremiah unto him, The Lord hath not called thy name Pashur, but Magor Mishabib. And we're going to have to pick up here next time. Chapter 20 of Jeremiah, Yirmiyahu, we'll pick up here next time. You're listening to Cross the Border, my website, crosstheborder.org. Please go there and take advantage of the Bible studies. I suggest that everyone start with the Genesis study there, crosstheborder.org. As always, in everything you do, hallelujah.